God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. You know, a lot of times we have a nickname for someone or something that pretty much encompasses the entire perception of that person or thing. On a ranch, for instance, with horses. A lot of times, especially on big ranches where they don't have time to make a pet of a horse may end up with a name like Red or Blue or Bucky or Old Paint, and all these are just different ways of designating the color of the horse. Hey, go get that red horse. You know, go get that sorrel. Go get that blue horse. Maybe it's a blue roan. Go get that, you know, that buckskin, Bucky, and so on, a paint horse. We do the same thing with people, either as to their height or their, you know, their family or some trait about them. Maybe we call someone Shorty or Junior or Lucky. These names may be fair or unfair, but the bottom line is we are encompassing a person's entire persona in that nickname. A lot of times in the Bible, you learn much about a person just in a one-verse biography. In other words, much of what is known about that person, even if the Bible expands upon that person, is summarized in one verse. So, for instance, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. Verse 24 says, and he was not, for God took him. Now, if you look at the New Testament commentary, for instance, Hebrews 11:5, you learn a little bit more about Enoch. But what you learn just expands upon what God lets us know about Enoch in that one verse. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, and the Bible talks about Noah, whose name means rest, saying, this same, that is Noah, shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. So Noah was going to be one who provided some sort of rest. And God used Noah to shepherd the animals onto the ark and preserve them and Noah and his family from the destruction to come. You read about Noah in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. There are many such examples. Let me just cut to the chase and tell you that Genesis 11:30 says this, but Sarai was barren, she had no child. Now, this is the first mention of Sarah, these couple verses here, verses 29 and 30. And right off the bat, lickety-split, you know she had no child and she couldn't have children. Now, that is extremely relevant, especially for this story, but because this entire story is about God's promise to make of Abram and Sarah, by the way, a great nation, and a nation through which all the nations of the world would be blessed. Well, how can you have a great nation if you don't even have a son? And how can you have a son if you don't have a couple that can have a son? She was barren. She had no child. And yet, the story that unfolds is nothing short of miraculous, is nothing short of God's power exhibited through people who, like we are frail and have our limitations. Sarah is not defined by childless. Sarah is defined by faith. And we can learn something from Sarah. You will either be defined by your weakness or by God's grace. And faith is what makes the difference. When you get to Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says these all died in faith. You know, people see what you do, but God knows who you trust. When you read this great chapter in Hebrews 11 of all these mighty people of faith, why are they here? Well, they accomplished some amazing things and a variety of amazing things, but they're not there because of what they accomplished. They're there because of who they trusted. Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. It wasn't just that she was beyond age. It was that she was beyond age and she couldn't bear children in the first place. So it was kind of a double doom for her. And yet, that's exactly what God did. God used her to bring about the Messiah through a mighty nation. In Genesis 12, the very next verses, the Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. How did this happen? It wasn't because of the strength of Abraham or the might of Sarah. It was because of the grace of God. And what unleashed that in their lives was not their virtue. It was their faith.